Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
That was part of the Jimmy Kimmel monologue that he was playing on Monday, and part of that monologue is what got him in a little bit of trouble with ABC. He has been removed from the air indefinitely, and a lot of people have raised concerns about First Amendment issues here. To talk about this with us, normally we talk to Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News at 10:30, but today we've got Scott Jennings, conservative pundit, a contributor on CNN. No matter what time of day you're watching CNN, Scott Jennings is probably on.
And well, he's not on right now.
Well, he's not on right now because he's on with us. He's on with us. Scott Jennings joins us on 104.1 FM KMOX. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Always good to be on in St. Louis.
You love being on KMOX. See, Scott's a big Cardinals fan.
I know it.
Yeah.
And we're sorry that things have not gone well this year.
Yeah, I'm. If anything needs to be regulated by the government right now, it's the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm looking for direct government intervention.
Okay, so well, I would like to know how that works, but I
don't know.
I'm intrigued.
The president can do a lot of things, and I am volunteering to head up a new commission to figure out what's going on and how we can fix it, because I've about had enough on behalf of Cardinal Nation.
You need two starting pitchers to throw 98.
You need some power in the lineup.
With movement and one more power bat in the lineup, and it'd be fine.
Yeah, just those little things.
That's it. All right, so Scott, I mean, this has been the big news of the last, 20 hours, I suppose, maybe a little bit less than that. But Jimmy Kimmel has been removed. And we know that the president has not really ever been a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. He has often criticized him publicly. And the criticism of this move is that it's a First Amendment. It may not be a direct violation, but it toys with it, because you had the FCC chair, which publicly basically said, either you do something about Jimmy Kimmel or we'll do it the hard way. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. What are your thoughts on how this has all gone down?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think it's a big story among a certain sliver of people, chiefly the people who work in media. I'm not sure it's that big of a story for the American people, just to be honest. This is not a show that was that had significant ratings. And, I tend to think we in the media oversubscribe or over index the weeping and gnashing of teeth when something like this happens. You know, is it a First Amendment story? I think it's a First Amendment debate, but I don't think it's a violation of the First Amendment. Nothing in the First Amendment guarantees Jimmy Kimmel a right to a job at a private company in perpetuity. I mean, you had significant affiliates and ownership of affiliates telling ABC, we're not comfortable with this programming anymore, chiefly Nexstar and Sinclair. I mean, combined, they own dozens of ABC affiliates around the country. There are statutory issues at play, the 1934 Communications Act and the public interest rule. The Supreme Court has consistently held that Congress and the FCC can police that rule. And there are questions about what he was doing on the air and whether it ran afoul of that rule. So I think Brendan Carr, who's the head of the FCC and appointed by President Trump, is going to continue to answer those questions. But I don't personally subscribe to the theory that Jimmy Kimmel has a right to a job at a private company. A private company has a right to police and monitor their content based on what's going on in the marketplace. And my assumption is what was going on in the marketplace with him over a long period of time was not good.
And I agree with you that there aren't a whole lot of people around the country who are going to lose much sleep that Kimmel is no longer on late night talk. I think what the issue is that even if it's done in a vague way, it's the implication that if you don't comply with us and remove this person from the air, that merger that you're planning, it would be a shame if something happened to that merger. I think that's the implication that has people uneasy today.
Sure. And I think it's a legitimate question that someone will ask Brendan Carr. It might be me because I'm interviewing him on my radio show at 2:30 Eastern today. So I'll probably bring it up. But I do think the larger issues here have to do with this public interest rule and, you know, whether he was running afoul of it and what is the FCC's role in enforcing this rule. I think, you know, look, this happened over Stephen Colbert as well. There are other market factors at play, other issues in the business. You know, was Jimmy Kimmel's show making money? Was it losing money? You know, someone once told me the only thing you cannot do in the TV business is make the affiliates angry. And it's obvious they were angry. I do think the joke, well, I call it a joke loosely. It wasn't a joke. I do think the commentary he had on the Kirk murder Monday night was painfully misleading. Lying to the American people. It was callous. And I can see why affiliates and the people who call the affiliates were mad about it. It's not the first time he's done this. Back in the spring, he was openly cheering on the Tesla vandalism and, you know, wishing for a publicly traded company with tens of thousands of employees to fail. And, you know, look, when you do those kinds of things, when you tell half the country or more than half the country, I hold you in such disdain, there are marketplace reactions to that. I think that's a big part of what's happening to him here.
Scott Jennings is our guest. I'm going to switch here and get a little political geeky with you, Scott.
Sure.
We've got these slate and perhaps growing number of states that are redrawing their congressional lines. Texas has done it. We've done it here in Missouri. California threatening to do so. How do you see all of that playing out? And what do you think the net effect of it is going to be on the 26 midterms?
You know, first of all, I'm defensive of states being able to do this however they want, even though I realize that means some blue states like Illinois, for instance, are terribly gerrymandered in favor of the Democrats. I don't think we should federalize this, as some people have suggested. It's a state issue. And so if a state wants to draw their maps, I think that's fine. Democrats have done it. Now you have Republican reactions in Texas and Missouri and other places. How will it shake out? I'm not quite sure I know yet. It feels like there's a possibility Republicans may benefit from it slightly, but I think it might be too early to tell whether it will be definitive in the House races. However it shakes out, I expect the House races next year to be extremely close no matter what. I think it's going to come down to the wire on congressional control, and it will probably depend more on how people feel about the economy and inflation than, you know, the maps that are being redrawn right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look historically and you take away 9/11 from the 2002 midterms and then impeachment from the 98 Clinton midterms, when you've got one party that controls all three, the president, the House, and the Senate, the average, the sort of minimum baseline loss of House seats has been historically about 25. Mm-hmm. And it can be as high as into the, we've seen it in the 40s, the Obama midterms were brutal for Democrats. I don't see any way that Republicans hold the House here. Am I wrong?
Well, you could be wrong. Democrats aren't exactly covering themselves in glory right now. People don't really like them all that much. That may not be enough to save Republicans. We don't know yet. I would just point to the 2022 midterms. Everybody assumed Democrats were going to take a huge bath, and they actually outkicked their coverage a little bit. Republicans did take over, but it was close. It was much closer, I think, than people would have predicted based on Biden's approval rating, particularly among independent voters. So I think Democrats have image problems right now, and I think Republicans have the enduring problem of can you get people who love Donald Trump and vote for Donald Trump to show up in any other election when he's not on the ballot? They have not had success with that so far. But that is, in my opinion, the number one, two, and three priority for the Republican Party's future beyond Donald Trump. Can you convert his voters into regular Republican voters? They're not there yet.
Buddy, I'm curious to get your thoughts on who the next United States Senator from the great state of Kentucky is going to be.
It's going to be a Republican. That's all I know. Whoever the president decides he wants to get behind in the primary has a really, really good chance of being the Republican nominee. I think his endorsement is all but definitive in a state like Kentucky. And, you know, we'll see when he wants to wade into that.
You got any plans for next year?
Well, if I had any political plans to run in Kentucky, I wouldn't be announcing it on a radio station in Missouri.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Okay.
But good try.
If you were going to, it would be this one.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Okay. But it would probably be during the seventh inning of a Cardinals game. So sorry.
Come on, man.
You guys.
Well, that's a look. We're trying to get a scoop around here. That's
I know,
all.
I know.
I hope you do it, by the way.
Well, you know, look, I come from a family of political people. My grandfather was elected officially. He was a Democrat, local guy. My dad held local political office as well, also as a Democrat. I'm, you know, blazing a new trail in my family. But it's a big decision. I get a lot of encouragement. I don't know if it's in my immediate future or in my intermediate future, but I certainly am mulling over the possibility of running someday in the future. I just don't really have any announcement about when that might be.
Sure.
Today.
Scott Jennings is with us from CNN. He's a contributor there and also at one time was an assistant to George W. Bush, President George W. Bush. Now, this is, Scott, the politics that we are experiencing now, very, very different from when Bush was in office, from, you know, his time as a public servant prior to that, or when his father was the president. And it has changed in such a dramatic way that I think it has turned a lot of people off. How do we come back from where we are now? And I think this conversation is even more pertinent after the Charlie Kirk murder from last week and the fact that we've seen rhetoric on both sides over the years be pretty vile, I think. So how do we come back from that?
Well, I think some things are different. From when I served a president, certainly the communications environment is different. The mainstream media is far less dominant. The rise of social media, the rise of alternative and independent journalism. It's a totally different communications environment for politics today than when I served President Bush. Some things are the same. I mean, I'm old enough to remember looking out my window in the White House out onto Pennsylvania Avenue, watching people marching around calling George W. Bush a Nazi, wearing Nazi uniforms and so on and so forth. I'm old enough to remember when Mitt Romney was called a murderer by the Democrats in 2012 and who intentionally gave people cancer. So I do think sometimes we sort of forget, you know, that things have gotten rough in our politics in the past and in the recent past. But what is different is the communications environment and how you come back from that or how you move through that. Look, I don't have a short answer to your question. I do think sometimes political leaders come along and they tend to galvanize the country or rally the country around certain issues or certain moments. I honestly think Donald Trump has rallied certain parts of the American people that weren't terribly politically active around his cause. Barack Obama did that before. So, you know, I tend to think our political leadership has a lot of responsibility here on how they choose to react to the issues of the day and the communications environment in which they live. And, you know, we may not know exactly what issues or what moments are going to come over the next 3.5 years that could galvanize us around something in the 2028 presidential. So it's an interesting question, but I guess I've lived in politics and been through enough cycles to know that this isn't the first time we've treated each other roughly or that Americans have had strong feelings about the political environment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I agree with you. I think one thing that does not sit well with me, and in the immediate aftermath of Kirk's murder, my feeling was, okay, this could be a really good moment for people in both parties, the most prominent members, to say, all right, we all need to cool it. We all need to cool it, because the rhetoric, you know, it's not just been Democrats. It has been Republicans, too. And even this president has called people he doesn't like enemies. And, you know, we've heard the name, the word vermin be used against Democrats and liberals. And it doesn't sit well with me that we're not, that everybody is not together saying, all right, we all have to stop. But instead, it is being used as sort of a political tool against the other side. So how do we get to that point where everybody at once recognizes we need to cool it?
Well, you would have to have people who want to cool it. I mean, it's one thing to say we should cool it, but you'd have to find people who want to cool it. And look, there are plenty of Democrats right now who have no interest in cooling it. I was on TV this morning with a guy.
But Scott, are there Republicans too that have no interest in that? We have to acknowledge both, do we not?
There are some who do, and I would say there are some who don't.
I've
experienced a range of emotions myself in the last week. I was on the air when Kirk was shot, and I was on CNN when he died, and I you know, was dejected. I was sad. I was angry. I mean, I've gone through a range of emotions about this, and I was on TV this morning with a guy who said the word fascist about 15 times in our panel discussion. Well, that's the word that was etched in the bullet casing that was found by investigators. I mean, obviously, there are some people who don't want to cool it. Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, says we're at war and we have to do everything we can to win the war. That's what
Republicans
he told
have used that,
his followers.
That terminology too, though.
But if you want me to come on here and yell at Donald Trump because his friend got murdered, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm looking for an acknowledgement from everybody here, Democrats and Republicans alike. We can't just keep saying, well, the Dems do this, Dems, and never acknowledge that, hey, my own side is responsible for this, too.
I don't think Republicans are responsible for the death of Charlie Kirk. I do not think Republicans are responsible for the near assassination of Donald Trump.
It's a larger violence issue that we have in our politics. It's not just Charlie Kirk. It's everything. It's the Minnesota legislators. It's everything.
Look, I am not going to dispute you that there is rough, coarse, and over-the-top language in many, many corners of our politics. We are a week out from one of the most prominent conservatives in America being assassinated by someone who his own family says had been radicalized by the left, and who etched words into bullet casings that are from the direct talking points of one of our political ideologies in this country. And so there, I believe that we are incapable of having a discussion about left-wing violence in this country. We always want to talk about right-wing violence and language, and then we want to both sides it when somebody from the left does something. But we're having trouble as a country isolating, I think, violent political culture on the left. I saw people in New York City, where I am today, in front of the courthouse cheering on Luigi Mangione this week. There are significant elements of the left who are interested in assassinations and political violence. And I hear you about the Republicans and conservatives, but inability to isolate left-wing political violence right now and discuss it honestly, I do think is a problem that we're incapable of doing it for some reason.
Scott Jennings, we do appreciate having you on. It's always fun to have you be a part of the show. We're sorry that we don't have a better Cardinals situation to bring you. But we thank you for coming on anyway. And if you do find a way to have the government get involved in Cardinals baseball and improve it, we're here to listen.
I'm traditionally a small government guy. Uh-huh. I would endorse direct government intervention in this. Okay. And again, volunteer to lead it. And I promise you, we will not fail the American people when it comes to fixing the problems that ail the St. Louis Cardinals.
Appreciate you, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Jennings, a contributor to CNN, a former special assistant to President George W. Bush with us, and has not committed to running for office. But he did promise that if he does, he's going to tell us first. That's what I heard, anyway.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.